This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We've got our next guest in the studio, Mark Edgegoose. Is that how I pronounce that?
Well, Edgegoose.
Edgegoose.
Close enough.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll get to that one. Yes.
Talking about many things that are happening at RMIT. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, terrific.
Now, give us your background.
Okay, so I'm a golden silversmith by training, so I actually studied at RMIT, and now I work.
So many people that we've spoken to from RMIT started their life at RMIT.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I have had a journey in between, and so I've been in the academic world for more years than I care to think about. But back at RMIT, involved in the art school, running the undergraduate program, and very interested in.
But hold on. Let's go back a bit, because you've exhibited a fair bit, haven't you, your day?
Yeah, my practice is, like I said, my training was gold and silver smithing. Got into that in a fairly odd way by work experience being a panel beater, and just loved the idea of then back in those dark days of moving material, working with material. And so at that stage it was a gold and silver smithing course, so the object side of it really fascinated me. And so through that whole learning process, have carried on actively exhibiting my work. And I perhaps do a lot less contemporary jewellery now than I have in the past. And most of my work is around installational work of objects, and very interested in the domestic and the functional within those spaces. So really, really very much interested in the way we as humans encounter work, and how we expose ourselves to that, and how it exposes itself to us. Yeah, so those conversations are very rich.
But where have you, pieces have showed up in lots of interesting places over the time. Where?
So, a big part of my practice is really dealing with clients and working very much in there. So, really focused on their living environments and getting to know them and then working. So part of that is really a big part of the practice. I'm not sure about quirky places.
You're part of Melbourne now.
Yes, part of Melbourne now. That's interesting to call Melbourne now quirky, but
that's what I'm thinking.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah. Groundbreaking. Yeah. Well, what was groundbreaking about Melbourne now was bringing all these practices together, and showing Melbourne, there's such rich sort of creative energy that's within Melbourne.
And what did you have?
A series of little rings in that particular project, and it was terrific. But like I said, it was that sort of total package that came with Melbourne now, and breaking down all those barriers of I do this and you do that, and I think seeing it all in the context really helped everyone sort of have a more connectedness.
We actually were speaking about it earlier, because we had one of the curators from NGV on, and she worked on it.
I saw Simona on that.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, you would have. Of course, you would know her. Yeah. She was involved in it. And we were saying how wonderful it was for Melbourne at that moment.
And it seems to have kept going. Contemporary jewellery is really part of the NGV now. They have a permanent display of contemporary jewellery there.
Yes,
and really, have become part of that contemporary jewellery community, which is, very rich. Melbourne are really blessed with and a very international contemporary jewellery activities going on. There are numerous galleries, Funaki Gallery. I noticed E.G. Atoll's just around the corner here, and Funaki just up the road. Yep. And then you've got our studio Ingot and E.G. Atoll. So great activity in the galleries, in the commercial gallery scenes.
Yeah, that of course, RMIT, so many of the people that come out at the end are major players around the world, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got people like Robert Baines, who worked at RMIT, and you know, his work's really quite magical, and he deals in notions of authenticity and authorship of the work, but it comes back from a very highly skilled, granulation, Etruscan gold work, and interestingly, in his case, he's really researched the histories of those and has continued working in those sort of platforms. So it's a really fascinating way. And just his works, you see it and it blows your mind.
Jewelry is obviously your main thing. So it's called All the Jewelry.
All the Jewelry, yeah.
This exhibition.
That's one of the shows, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell us, what's it all about?
Yeah, so look, it comes from a show that Lisa Walker, a New Zealand-based jewelry artist, the Design Hub's having a major retrospective, and we probably should use that word retrospective quite loosely in Lisa's case. She wants to go to a bedroom, but she can't be bothered. So quite an interesting title, and I have scratched my head a little bit about, well, what's that? And I decided, well, perhaps I don't want to know what that, and I'll discover when I actually see the show. But I have actually read something, and it's really about time and about how hard we work, but also about how technology is really giving us more time and how perhaps we can waste that as well as get more things done. That show's is a major, over 200 pieces of Lisa's work, and her works really interesting in contemporary jewelry. She really asks the question, what is contemporary jewelry, and takes it to quite extremes. Like, some of the work is it sort of deals with wearability, but some of it isn't that wearable, and so simultaneously it's dealing with preciousness and non-preciousness. Her materials that she uses are vast, sheepskins, and when I say sheepskins, I mean whole sheepskins, and a whole range of, from mobile phones to dial phones to make jewellery pieces in their complete, egg beaters, the lot. And so it's a really interesting dialogue that she's really asking about what is contemporary jewellery. And
because it really, in the last, say, 10 or more years, it really has been, contemporary jewellery has really turned itself on its head,
yes,
hasn't it? Yeah. And a lot of the pieces women wear are real pieces of art. True. It's quite spectacular. And it's getting bigger.
Correct. And really, it's a process that started a lot longer than 10 years ago.
Sure.
And
the 60s.
That's very true. Probably late 70s to 80s, a whole new material approach came, and this whole discussion about preciousness. And people like Otto Kunze, who's an iconic jeweller working in the contemporary jewellery field, did some very important work on that notion of preciousness and what does it mean. And there was a very iconic piece called Gold Makes You Blind, and it's a bracelet, a black bracelet with a gold ball in the middle, so you can't see the gold ball, you don't know it actually is a gold ball, and so it really plays that idea about, well, what is preciousness in that term, and Lisa does the same in her work. Preciousness is still a very important subject in gold and silversmithing terms, and it's really part of our history, and in some ways it's one we want to hang on to a bit, because it sort of makes us a little bit different from other art forms. So yes, jewelry is becoming an art form, but yes, we also want to make sure that contemporary jewelry contains itself in its own histories and its own values.
Right.
And so it's a really, really interesting dialogue.
Now, you said that there's a few exhibitions.
Yeah, so All the Jewelry, so that sits along the Lisa Walker show, and that's where there's 10 panels are being set up, and through discussion performance, these panels will be recorded, these discussions and performances will be recorded, and they're really asking jewelry questions about where jewelry, contemporary jewelry, currently sits. So, about the perceptions and really, so some of the questions that are going to be asked are, what is forgotten, neglected, or missing from contemporary jewelry? What is contemporary about contemporary jewelry? What are jewelry materials? So all these questions are really about looking at the perspectives and perceptions of what jewelry is. And so both these shows are going to be documented through catalogues and
we'll podcast. Talk. Are they?
I don't know. To be honest,
They're being recorded, yeah. I just assume that well, it will be podcast.
Well, certainly the workshops. The 10 workshops, which are happening weekly at a lunchtime, they're a public event, so
right.
I believe public can go along. So yep. I'd look at the Design Hub website, RMIT Design Hub website, to find out when they on. They start on February the 6th and happen weekly. Now the other shows that are happening and then part of a contemporary jewellery community is we have a jewellery festival in September. And that's really called Radiant Pavilion, and it's in its third iteration, and so it's about a contemporary jewellery and object biennale, and so they really take over Melbourne, and about last time there were over 80 shows of contemporary jewellery in and around Melbourne, and from all different perspectives of what you might say, performance and installations, talks, open studios, there's early career writing mentorships that are, and curatorial mentorships, so a really and goes for a whole week, so it's a fantastic event that attracts Australian wide and international audience.
Right.
There's a German version that's been going a lot longer called Schmuck, and Lisa studied under Otto Kunzli there, and so we have great relationships with our international contemporaries in this. And the other show called Master Makers, which I'm curating, is part of Radiant Pavilion, and that's at RMIT Gallery. And
that's not until later in the year.
That's in September as well. And that's really about for 30 years at RMIT. People like Robert Baines, Kirsten Hayd, myself have invited masters from all around the world to come and deliver workshops.
Wow!
So we've invited all them back to exhibit their work, but also the participants that were in those workshops.
Yep.
So we're creating a bit of a dialogue about what were the influences and what were some of the technical shifts that happened in contemporary jewellery over this span of time. Yeah. And so that's going to be it's a big show. But it's we're very lucky, and RMIT are fantastic in supporting all these events. Yeah.
Sounds like you have a lot of things going on through RMIT.
Yeah.
So what's the best way for people to sort of find out about these things? Is it through the Design Web, the Hub website, or is there a website?
Well, I think just contact Design Hub, RMIT Gallery, and also the School of Art. And we will also have Facebook
sites. So you're on your social media,
and people can look that up absolutely. Quite easily. Absolutely. And also you can contact me personally. I'm happy to throw it open and see what happens, and because that's really the fun bit thing about contemporary jewellery. It's really interesting in the respect that in the aspect that the debates that we have are very similar to all creative art forms, but what we also I think have is this notion of skill and material knowledge, and so we're really focused on building that. So at RMIT at the moment we're really looking at actually starting a new program around craft and material practices, and sort of looking at some of the ways that they work slightly differently to perhaps some of the more contemporary art and fine art practices.
Wow.
Right,
So much going on. Yeah. And when you had 900 bits of paper and you got through them very, very well, actually. Thank you, Mark, for coming in.
Yeah,
and, just go to RMIT and you'll find it all. And jewellery is obviously what you're looking for. Yeah. Thank you so much
pleasure.
For coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to Joy 94.9 at Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.